Saraswati Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text 11.
Tadvāṁ visargo janatāga viplavo.
Tadvāṁ visargo janatāga viplavo.
Yasmin prati shlokam abhajyavatyapi.
Yasmin prati shlokam abhajyavatyapi.
Nāmanyanantasya yashonkitāniyat.
Nāmanyanantasya yashonkitāniyat.
Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadavaha.
Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadavaha.
Tadvāg Visargo Janatāga Viplavo.
Tadvāg Visargo Janatāga Viplavo.
Yasmin prati shlokam abhajyavatyapi.
Yasmin prati shlokam abhajyavatyapi.
Namanyanam tasya yashom kitaniyat.
Namanyanam tasya yashom kitaniyat.
Shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadavaha.
Shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadavaha.
Tat.
That.
Vak.
Vak.
Vocabulary.
Vocabulary.
Visargaha.
Visargaha.
Creation.
Creation.
Janata. The people in general. Agha. Sins. Viplavaha.
Viplavaha.
Revolutionary.
Revolutionary.
Yasmin.
Yasmin.
In which?
In which?
Prati shloka. Each and every stanza.
Each and every stanza.
Abhadavati.
Abhadavati.
Irregularly composed.
Irregularly composed.
Api. In spite of.
In spite of.
Namadi.
Namadi.
Transcendental names, etc.
Transcendental names, etc.
Anantasya.
Anantasya.
Of the unlimited Lord.
Of the unlimited God.
Yashaha.
Yashaha.
Glories.
Glories.
Ankitani.
Ankitani.
Depicted.
Depicted.
Yat.
Yat.
What?
What?
Shrinvanti.
Shrinvanti.
Do hear.
Do hear.
Gayanti.
Gayanti.
Do sing.
Do sing.
Grunanti.
Grunanti.
Do accept.
Do accept.
Sadhava.
Sadhava.
The purified men who are honest.
The purified men who are honest.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories, of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of the transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Purport. It is a qualification of the great thinkers to pick up the best even from the worst. It is said that the intelligent man should pick up nectar from a stock of poison, should accept gold even from a filthy place, should accept a good and qualified wife, even from an obscure family, and should accept a good lesson from a man, even from a man or from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. These are some of the ethical instructions for everyone, in every place, without exception. But a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord, because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change. And as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures, like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. While preparing this commentary on this particular stanza of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a crisis before us. Our neighboring friend China has attacked the border of India with a militaristic spirit. We have practically no business in this political field. And we see that previously there were both China and India, and they lived both peacefully for centuries without ill feeling. The reason is that they lived those days in an atmosphere of God consciousness. And every country over the surface of the world was God-fearing, pure-hearted, and simple. But there was no question of political diplomacy. There is no cause of quarrel between the two countries, China and India, over land which is not very suitable for habitation. And certainly there is no cause for fighting on this issue. But due to the age of quarrel, Kali, which we have discussed, there is always a chance of quarrel on a slight provocation. This is due not to the issue in question, but to the polluted atmosphere of this age. Systematically, there is a propagation by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Lord. Therefore, there is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. It is the duty of every responsible Indian to broadcast the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the world, to do the supermost good, as well as to bring about the desired peace in the world. Because India has failed in her duty by neglecting this responsible work, there is so much quarrel and trouble all over the world. We are confident that if the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam is received only by the leading men of the world, certainly there will be a change of heart. And naturally the people in general will follow them. The mass of people in general are tools in the hands of the modern politicians and leaders of the people. If there is a change of heart in the leaders only, certainly there will be a radical change in the atmosphere of the world. We know that our honest attempt to present this great literature, conveying transcendental messages for reviving the God consciousness of the people in general and re-spiritualizing the world atmosphere, is fraught with many difficulties. Our presenting this matter in adequate language, especially a foreign language, will certainly fail. And there will be so many literary discrepancies, despite our honest attempts to present it in the proper way. But we assure that with all our faults in this connection, the seriousness of the subject matter will be taken into consideration and the leaders of the society will still accept this due to its being an honest attempt to glorify the Almighty Lord. When there is a fire in a house, the inmates of the house go out to get help from the neighbors, who may be foreigners, and yet without knowing the language, the victims of the fire express themselves. And the neighbors understand the need, even though not expressed in the same language. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the polluted atmosphere of the world. After all, it is a technical science of spiritual values, and thus we are concerned with the techniques and not with the language. If the techniques of this great literature are understood by the people of the world, there will be success. Now Narada is talking about revolution, Viplava. This revolution will not be created by some political disturbance, by raising a paramilitary army or training up freedom fighters or terrorists, whichever you want to call it. Yesterday's terrorists become tomorrow's freedom fighters. Not that kind of revolution. This is Vagvisarga, not a volley of cannonballs, but of Vagvisarga, a volley of words, Visarga, sending forth a literary creation. What Narada is talking about, he's talking to Vyas, the literary incarnation of Lord Narayan. So he's talking to the right person. Vyas, if anybody, can understand how words can be revolutionary. The English saying is the pen is mightier than the sword. Prabhupada gives the example of the communists. Yes, they raised armies and they fought against the Tsar's armies, or the Tsarists, you know, the white Russians against the reds against the white. They had their civil war. They won, but not because they had superior military strength, but by the force of their propaganda. They were vigorously cultivating the favor of the populace by preaching to them, preaching socialism. They would come to a town in their trucks, Prabhupada is saying. I don't know what the history is, but Prabhupada is saying this. They come to a village. The people are hungry. There's famine. And they would say, okay, go to your church and pray to your God. And they'd go pray and come back. And the communist cadres would say, okay, is your hunger satisfied now? No, they're still hungry. Okay, open the trucks. And the trucks were loaded with bread. And they gave the bread to the people and said, okay, how do you feel now? So who do you like better, your God or us? Who's actually taking care of you? This way they made propaganda, and they published magazines, newspapers, books. That's Vagvisarga, revolution by words, literary revolution. And that, Vyasadeva is the expert in this. He compiled, or rather edited the Vedas in order to maintain the status quo, to maintain the principles of religion. But in Kali Yuga, things bogged down. There's need for revolution, transcendental revolution. And the spearhead of that transcendental revolution is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. Yasmin pati shloka mabhadavati api. It doesn't matter that it is or not a literary masterpiece. Even if you find faults in every shloka. Not that the Bhagavatam has such faults, but even if there were such faults, still, if the names and fame of the Supreme Lord are vividly depicted, then that will change the world. The pedants and the school teachers may not like the faults in your literary composition, but the rest of the world will take it seriously and the world will be changed. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was publishing daily newspaper, monthly magazines, and he would invite his disciples to also write articles. And he had a very simple criteria for deciding what to publish. He would count how many names of Krishna were mentioned in the article. And if Krishna was mentioned enough times, then he approved it for publication. Simple criteria. If Krishna is adequately glorified, then that is transcendental literature. As opposed to what was being described yesterday as the trash in the garbage dumps that is attracting crows, crow-like men, who like to read mundane literature. Or nowadays watch television, read newspapers, surf the internet. This is pilgrimage for the crows. In contrast, that literature which glorifies the personality of Godhead, not only is it sacred, not only is it purifying, but it will not only change one or a few individuals, it will change the whole world. There are many cases of books that appeared at the right time and had a great effect on changing the world. And this will be the next book to change the world, Srimad Bhagavatam. We may not see it happening yet. No. Yes, hundreds of millions of copies have been distributed by the efforts of Srila Prabhupada and his followers in some 75 different languages. Srimad Bhagavatam is being published and distributed. But that process is what Prabhupada called planting the seeds. How long does it take for a coconut palm to grow from a seed? A long time, right? I don't know. Anybody know? Only. And then you get coconuts after 7 years? Okay, that's not too bad. But anyway, but it takes some time. I know a pineapple, you plant it in the ground, whatever you do, pineapple takes 18 months to grow one pineapple. They grow from the ground. Banana takes a year and a half to grow. I don't know, from seed, I don't know how long. So this revolution will take some time. We should not be disappointed, we should not be frustrated or disillusioned that 30 years, 35 years have passed and the world has not been revolutionized yet. It is happening. Hundreds of thousands of people have had their lives changed. Christianity, 50 years after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, had not taken the world over yet. At that time, the few Christians in Rome were still being fed to the lions. You know, Christianity was not prospering at that time. It was getting devoured, literally, in the Colosseum. It didn't look like Christianity was going to survive. If all the Christians get eaten up by lions, how is that religion going to take over the world? But it did. You know, eventually the emperor of Rome became a Christian. And Rome became the capital of the Christianity. And it spread all over the world. And now, even today, there are 400 million Christians, well, less Catholics in the world, and how many other Protestants. Christianity is still very strong. So it takes some time. Don't think that in 30 years everything will be accomplished. Planting the seeds have to fructify and gradually grow. The distribution of that literature, of this literature, is planting the seeds. People's lives will be changed. The whole world will change because this literature has unique potency. The glories of Krishna are described perfectly, vividly. Krishna svadamo pagate dharma gyan adi biksaha kalal dasta visham esha puranarko dunodita. As, this is Sutta Goswami speaking, to all the sages, in his first instructions, first reply to their questions. They asked him, Krishna has left recently, and we see that he took with him dharma and jnana. Now they not only is Krishna gone, but dharma and jnana are disappearing from the world. Religion and knowledge. People are becoming ignorant and irreligious very quickly. The sages saw the age of Kali coming on quickly. So they said, what or where will religion go to take shelter? The answer was given at the end of the third chapter of this first canto. Now that Krishna has gone back to his abode, taking away dharma and jnana with him, this Purana, the one that we're sitting here to discuss, the Bhagavatam, has arisen like the sun, and it will give light, enlightenment, to the bewildered and unhappy residents of the Kali Yuga. Sri Krishna Parivartita. Srila Sanatana Goswami in his Srimad Bhagavat Mahima Stotra says that Sri Krishna Parivartita, you are the direct representative of Krishna. You are non-different from Krishna. He's addressing the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is sound form of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. Just like the Murti in the temple, we recognize this is not a statue. This is a special manifestation of God Himself. Archa Avatar. Incarnation of God in the form of the deity, the Murti. Similarly, this is Shabda Avatar. Incarnation of God in the form of sound. Srimad Bhagavatam. By properly associating with this sound, you are associating with Krishna. The descriptions are not just theoretical. When you read in the third canto, 15th, 16th chapter, description of the glories of Vaikuntha, description of what the atmosphere of Vaikuntha is like, by hearing that with faith and attention, one will experience Vaikuntha, not just theoretically. The reality is evoked by this transcendental sound. It's not an ordinary book. It's not even an ordinary Purana. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, even among the 18 Puranas, the status of the Bhagavatam is unique. The original Vedas are called Shruti and Aparusheya. They are eternal, and thus they have no author. They are received, simply, by hearing. The original Rishis receive the Vedic mantras in their meditation, and they speak them to their disciples. Those disciples become Shrutarshis, Rishis by hearing, not by meditation. Secondary Rishis who hear from their gurus. And the knowledge is passed down by oral reception, Shruti, therefore it is called Shruti, the original Vedas. It was before Kali Yuga, it was considered not proper to study the Vedas from a written book. Writing was known in ancient times, but it was used for mundane purposes. If you had to write somebody a letter or make a shopping list, you may write it down. But you don't write down Shastra. It's an aparad to study the Vedas from a written book. You have to hear it. But in Kali Yuga, that system is impractical. People's power of memorization is too weak. They tried with Mahabharata, the bards, suttas, who broadcast Mahabharata. They tried to memorize it, but it's such a big book. Original form, 125,000 verses. And therefore we have practically as many, and then eventually it was written down. But those written copies were coming in the various traditions of spoken. The bards would memorize and recite the Mahabharata. But because the memorization power in Kali Yuga is imperfect, they didn't all memorize it exactly the same. And now when you study, you look for the written manuscripts of the Mahabharata, there are as many different versions as there are manuscripts. Every manuscript is a little bit different. They have different numbers of chapters, and even each chapter, the verses are slightly different. You cannot find a standard version of the Mahabharata. Because these bards, suttas, who tried to memorize it, could not do it perfectly. That's Kali Yuga. Memorization power is weak. To the point that nowadays, you just try to memorize a few answers for questions to pass your exam. Pass the exam and then forget everything. Yeah. And even for that, you pay someone to give you the answers, you cheat, do so many things. Pay the teacher to give you a good grade even though you don't know the answers. Because people can't memorize, therefore they have to resort to cheating. But originally, shrutis were received by hearing only, not by reading. The secondary class of Vedic literature is called smriti. The original Vedas have no author, but there are other books that explain the Vedas and expand on various topics, and they are composed by actual sages and other great authorities. That is called smriti, what is remembered. Those who have studied the Shruti, they think and they have their own experience, and then what they compose in their heads, their remembrances, that's called Smriti. And the Puranas are among the Smritis. Dharma Shastras are Smritis, books like the Manu Smriti, Manu Samhita, many other Dharma Shastras. But also the histories, Itihasa and Purana, are considered smriti category. Mahabharata was written by Vyas. Ramayana was written by Valmiki Muni. They're personal compositions. Similarly, the Puranas, although they're originally spoken, because the Puranas belong to the Sutta class, who are reciters. So the tradition of Puranas begins oral reception. And then only much later is it written down. And there are many Puranas, but they're considered smriti, secondary literature. They were spoken, all of them, by Sutta Goswami, and re-spoken by other sages. And Sutta Goswami is narrating how other people are carrying on discussions and conversations in the various Puranas. Various authorities speaking. But still, it's considered of secondary authority, second to the Vedas. But Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Tattva Sandarbhas, points out a very confidential fact, that Srimad Bhagavatam is not of the same status as the other Puranas, that it is actually in the category of Shruti. Atampa Pandave Yasya Rajyar Share Munina Saho Samvadak Samabhutata Yatrai Shesha Satvati Shrutihi. Shravaka asked Sutta, in the early chapters of the first canto. How also did this conversation occur between Parikshit and Shukadev? What was the circumstances that led to the speaking of the Bhagavatam? And he refers, Shonaka refers, and Shonaka is a Vedic authority. He's not a Sutta or mixed class. He's a Paka Brahman, Shonaka Rishi, great, great sage. And he says the Bhagavatam, he calls the Bhagavatam Satvati Shrutihi, the Shruti for the devotees of Lord Vishnu. And Jiva Goswami explains why the Bhagavatam should be considered Veda and not just secondary literature. Because what makes the Veda different than Smriti is that every syllable is eternally the same. You cannot change one syllable of the Vedas without distorting it, without ruining it. Whereas the Smritis, like the Dharma Shastras and Puranas, they are spoken repeatedly in different ages by different sages, and the words may be different. The idea should be the same, but the words can change in the Smriti. But the Bhagavatam, every single word is eternal. It's not rewritten by Vyasadeva at the end of Dwapara Yuga. He recollects it as is, and he has his perfect son, Shukadev, who's the best competent person to hear and repeat without changing. Therefore, he's called Parrot, Shuka. Bhagavatam, not one syllable is different than it was at the beginning of creation. And Jiva Goswami further explains that all 18,000 verses are eternal. The four-verse Bhagavatam that Brahma heard from Garbhadakshay Vishnu is just a summary, a nutshell version, but the original version is also eternal. Brahma then spoke to Narada in three chapters, chapters that are recorded as chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the second canto. This is the version of the Bhagavatam spoken by Brahma to Narada. Then Narada spoke more elaborately to Vyas, although we don't have that version written in the Bhagavatam. Not all of the instructions of Narada. And then Vyas spoke the entire Bhagavatam, but that 18,000 verse version always existed. So therefore there's no contradiction, because Vyas, Veda Vyas, Krishna Dvaipayana, is Trikalagya. He knows past, present, and future. Therefore he can speak the whole Bhagavatam, including the discussion between Parikshit and Shukadev that hasn't happened yet. And the discussion between Shonaka and the other sages with Sutta Goswami. That has not happened yet. But Vyasadeva speaks all of it before the fact. And Shukadev speaks about Naimisharanya before the fact. Because it is eternal. It is Shruti. This is a special status of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada left, there's one more paragraph to the purport. I should read that before we stop. So Prabhupada continues in his purport. When there are too many materialistic activities by the people in general all over the world, there is no wonder that a person or a nation attacks another person or nation on slight provocation. That is the rule of this age of Kali or quarrel. The atmosphere is already polluted with corruption of all description, and everyone knows it well. There are so many unwanted literatures full of materialistic ideas of sense gratification. In many countries, there are bodies appointed by the state to detect and censor obscene literature. This means that neither the government nor the responsible leaders of the people want such literature. Yet it is in the marketplace because the people want it for sense gratification. The people in general want to read. That is a natural instinct. But because their minds are polluted, they want such literature. Under the circumstances, transcendental literature like Srimad Bhagavatam will not only diminish the activities of the corrupt mind of the people in general, but also it will supply food for their hankering after reading some interesting literature. In the beginning, they may not like it because one suffering from jaundice is reluctant to take sugar candy. But we should know that sugar candy is the only remedy for jaundice. Similarly, let there be a systematic propagation for popularizing reading of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which will act like sugar candy for the jaundice-like condition of sense gratification. When men have a taste for this literature, the other literatures, which are catering poison to society, will then automatically cease. We are sure, therefore, that everyone in human society will welcome Srimad Bhagavatam, even though it is now presented with so many faults. For it is recommended by Sri Narada, who has very kindly appeared in this chapter. Srila Prabhupada chose to publish Srimad Bhagavatam, to take the trouble to make elaborate translation and commentary. Made it the main obligation of his life. Even establishing temples and making disciples was secondary. First thing was the presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam. That was his first priority. He didn't leave India to go to the West until he had published one canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That finished, then he felt ready to go. Someone, not that this ever happened, but someone could have approached Prabhupada while he was still in India and asked him, "Swamiji, who do you expect to read this book? There's no audience for it. Why don't you write something that people will be interested in? They'll attract an audience. Write something else." Nobody actually said this, I think, but a well-meaning friend could have approached Prabhupada. And he would not have listened to such advice, I'm sure. He was perfectly convinced, as expressed in this verse, and Prabhupada uses this verse in his introduction, or preface, to the Srimad Bhagavatam, that this book has the potency to change the world. And a great author, even if there is not an audience, he'll create his own audience. He'll make an audience. Prabhupada did that. He made an audience for Srimad Bhagavatam. Nirvatsaranam satam vedyam. Bhagavatam can only be understood by those who are free from envy and saintly. So he picked people off the street and made them saintly and free from envy. Made them into the fit audience. He created the audience for the Srimad Bhagavatam. Pulled them out of the gutter. And made them into students of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a great author who could do such a thing. Create his own audience. So we have not only the Bhagavatam, but the Bhagavatam as presented by and championed by Srila Prabhupada. Such a potent thing. We could distribute Srimad Bhagavatam in the Sanskrit Mula Mantra. We could buy from Gita Press, 50 rupees. We could distribute those. They're distributing, I don't know how many, I think 400,000 copies in all the years they've done of the Mula Mantra Bhagavatam, Gita Press. But that doesn't have the potency. Although it's Shukadeva's words, who will understand it in Sanskrit? Yeah, someone will chant it. Somebody may understand some of it. And even if you get a translation, I think they also have a version with a translation by some Goswami, somebody. But it's not a pure devotee translating it. You can also get from Multilalpa Nasidas, translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, and there are other translations available. But they're not done by pure devotees. Nothing like the potency of Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. So, such a special book. It's not only the Bhagavatam, but it's the Bhagavatam supercharged with the purports of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, that's definition of Shruti. Yes, so someone can argue technically it's not Shruti because it doesn't have Swara, but actually not all the Shruti. The Upanishads are also Shruti, and there are many Upanishads that don't have Swara. Okay, so the criterion that Shruti must have Swara is not always Anaikantika. That reason is Anaikantika, it's not always true. There are Shrutis that don't have Swara. Most of the Upanishads don't have. So that it doesn't discount it. Okay? Anything else? Okay, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.